This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Julianne with the May 10, 2024 edition of The Week Junior. We will start with this week's big news. The first article is U.S. approves foreign aid bill. On April 24, President Joe Biden signed a bill that provides $95.3 billion in aid to three countries that are allies of the U.S. The aid package also includes a provision that could lead to the banning of TikTok in the U.S. What happened? The House of Representatives, which is one half of Congress, the branch of government that makes laws, passed the bill in separate votes on April 20th. They voted 311 to 112 to send $60.8 billion worth of aid to Ukraine, 366 to 58 to send $26.4 billion in aid to Israel, and 385 to 34 to send $8.1 billion in aid to Taiwan. The bill was presented as one package to the Senate, which is the other half of Congress, where it passed by a vote of 79 to 18 on April 23. The next day, Biden signed it into law. Aid was set to go to the three countries immediately. Why is it significant? The bill needed support from Republicans and Democrats in order to pass, which can be difficult because the parties often disagree. Mike Johnson, the Speaker or leader of the House, is a Republican. Many of his fellow Republicans opposed the bill, so he worked with Democrats to make sure they could vote for it. The aid also came at a crucial moment for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The aid for Ukraine includes military equipment and weapons, which it needs to defend itself in its war against Russia. The aid to Israel includes money for military equipment as the country fights Hamas, a terrorist group based in Gaza. The bill will also send $9.2 billion in humanitarian assistance to people affected by the fighting, including the citizens of Gaza. The support for Taiwan will help strengthen its military against aggression by China. What else was approved in the bill? The legislation requires the Chinese company ByteDance, which owns TikTok, to sell the popular app to a U.S.-based buyer within 9 months, or it will be blocked from app stores in the U.S. Many elected officials, including Biden, said this measure is needed to protect Americans' personal information from the Chinese government. Biden can extend the deadline by 90 days if ByteDance is making progress toward selling the company. TikTok will remain available to U.S. users until the situation is resolved. How did people react? The bill's supporters were pleased that the aid was approved. This is an important day for America and a very important day for freedom-loving countries around the world, said Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky expressed gratitude. Opponents of the aid said they thought it was going to a lost cause. Pouring more money into Ukraine's coffers will only prolong the conflict and lead to more loss of life, said Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville. The head of TikTok, Xiao Zichu, posted a video saying the bill will take TikTok away from 170 million Americans who find community and connection on our platform. The company has denied sharing data with the Chinese government and said it has invested billions of dollars to keep U.S. data safe. What happens next? While aid is sent to the three countries, bidders are expected to begin making offers to buy TikTok. Potential buyers include technology companies like Microsoft and Oracle. But TikTok said it will challenge the ban as a violation of free speech, which is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, the highest U.S. law. Next, the trial of former president begins. The first criminal trial of a former president in U.S. history is underway in a New York City courtroom. Donald Trump, who served from 2017 to 2021, is facing 34 counts of falsifying business records during the 2016 presidential campaign. The case will be decided by a jury of 7 men and 5 women who were chosen at the start of the trial. They are first hearing arguments from the prosecutors, who are lawyers from New York, led by District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who say Trump falsified the records to keep information secret that he did not want the public to know about during the 2016 campaign. Then the defense attorneys, led by Todd Blanche, will make arguments to try to prove that Trump is not guilty. The trial, overseen by Judge Juan Merchan, is expected to last 6 to 8 weeks. Trump is required to be in the courtroom each day. If he is found guilty, he faces a prison sentence of up to 4 years for each count. He is the expected Republican candidate for president this year and can run for or hold office even if he is convicted. And now, musicians are chosen for the Hall of Fame. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, announces the 16 artists to be inducted or admitted in 2024. The list spans a wide range of music, from rock to hip-hop to R&B. Induction into the Hall of Fame, known as Rock Hall, recognizes a musician's or group's career and legacy. Nominees are voted on by more than 1,000 music historians, industry professionals, and past inductees. To be eligible, artists must have released their first commercial available to the public to buy recording at least 25 years ago. Despite its name, Rock Hall represents many genres. Chairman John Sykes said rock and its cultural influence are always evolving. This diverse group of inductees each broke down musical barriers and influenced countless artists that followed in their footsteps, said Sykes. Inductees are divided into categories. Among the eight artists in the performing category are Peter Frampton, whose 1976 album, Frampton Comes Alive, is one of the best-selling live rock albums of all time; Cher, who has sold more than 100 million albums in her 60-year career; Mary J. Blige, the queen of hip-hop soul, who has sold millions of albums; and the Dave Matthews Band, one of the world's top live acts. R&B and rock pioneer Big Mama Thornton is one of the three musical influence honorees. Dionne Warwick and Jimmy Buffett are two of the four artists named for musical excellence. A ceremony to officially welcome the inductees will be held at Rock Mortgage Fieldhouse on October 19 and will stream live on Disney+. The word of the week this week is inductee, I-N-D-U-C-T-E-E. An inductee is someone who is admitted to a post or to an organization, such as the artist who will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The word induct began with the Latin inducere, meaning to lead in. It is from the same family as other English words, including conduct, to lead with, and produce, to lead forward. This week in history, on May 8, 1912, the film studio Paramount Pictures was founded in Hollywood, California, by Adolph Zukor. The logo for the studio consisted of a mountaintop with stars, which represented the actors and actresses first hired to work at the studio. Today, Paramount Pictures is one of Hollywood's oldest operating film studios and has produced thousands of award-winning movies. Next, student protests sweep college campuses. Students at dozens of colleges and universities have staged demonstrations in support of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, where Israel, the Jewish state, has been fighting a war against Hamas, a terrorist organization, since October 7. What happened? On April 17, students at Columbia University in New York City built an encampment of about 50 tents on campus as a form of protest. The students did not have permission to do so, and Columbia's president called the police the next day. More than 100 students were arrested. To show support for the Columbia students, protests then erupted at other colleges from coast to coast. Since then, more than 1,100 students have been arrested at more than 20 campuses, and other students were suspended. What do the students want? The students are demanding an end to the war. They are also calling on their colleges to divest from or cut financial ties with Israel. This includes no longer investing in or doing business with companies that provide financial support to Israel or profit from the war. Examples range from companies that make weapons being used in the fighting to the tech company Google, which has a contract to provide services to Israel's government. How have people reacted? Many protests have been peaceful, and college leaders have allowed them to take place. But because some demonstrations have included chants and threats that are anti-Semitic or prejudiced against Jewish people, many Jewish students have said they felt targeted and unsafe on campus, and that universities must do more to protect them. Colleges have responded in a variety of ways, from closing parts of campus to anyone without a student ID, to canceling graduation ceremonies. What will happen next? When the Week Junior went to press on April 30th, campus protests were ongoing and arrests continued to be made. At Columbia, protesters took over a campus building and said they would not leave until administrators listened to their demands. Those who continued to occupy the building could be expelled, Columbia official says. The White House said people have the right to protest peacefully and lawfully, but forcibly taking over buildings is not peaceful, and hate speech has no place in America. We're going to move over to the how-to section, where the junior council members report on how kids can make a difference in the environment. When the 12 members of the Week Junior's Junior Council began meeting for the spring 2024 session, they decided they wanted to use their voices to raise awareness about the importance of protecting the planet. The children came up with specific ideas, conducted research on the topic, interviewed experts, and wrote their stories. We hope their work inspires you to take action. If you do, write to us at hello@theweekjunior.com. The first is investigate native plants in your area by Eden, age 11, in North Carolina. Native plants are ones that grow naturally in your area. Planting and growing them is a great way for you to help the environment. Here are three things to know. Native plants support the ecosystem. Flowers and other plants that are found locally nourish wildlife, including pollinators like hummingbirds, butterflies, and bees. Because native plants have evolved to adapt to local soil conditions, they don't need chemical fertilizers to survive. Native plants also naturally live longer, which helps the earth because plants absorb carbon dioxide, a gas that traps heat in the atmosphere and contributes to climate change from the air. For example, one native tree can absorb 48 pounds of carbon dioxide each year. Local experts can help. Visit a garden center in your area for advice on which native plants might grow best for you, or join a community garden to learn about native plants. Finally, some libraries have native seed libraries and distribute seeds to people to plant. Native plants can grow nearly anywhere. All you need is a small patch of soil or a gardening pot. If you use a pot, pick a container with a large drainage hole at the bottom. Place the plants into the ground or into a container using potting soil and follow any directions for watering them. Then get ready for the pollinators to pop by. Get outside in nature by Thomas, age 10, of California. Going for a walk in nature is good exercise, but did you also know it benefits your brain? When you walk in a natural environment, like a park, it allows your mind to wander, giving it a break, says Mark Bergman, chair of the Department of Psychology at the University of Chicago. Consider these facts about the upside of being outdoors. Even short bursts of time outside can help. Berman led a study that showed that spending 1 hour interacting with nature could help people improve their memory and attention span by as much as 20%. When people are at a park or in the woods, their brain doesn't encounter distractions like traffic, crowds, and noise. Being outside is beneficial year-round. For many people, getting outside may be more enjoyable in warmer weather. Berman's research found, though, that people still get nature's brain-boosting benefits from an outdoor walk during cold and rainy days. Berman explained that walking in nature is similar to eating your vegetables or exercising. It's still good for you, even if you don't like doing it at first. Enjoying nature indoors has positive effects, too. No one can be outside all the time, and that's okay. Research shows that people can boost their memory and attention just by looking at photos of nature scenes. Another idea is to bring nature inside by growing houseplants. Berman suggests placing them in areas of your home where you'll see them frequently, like your bedroom or living room. Gather rocks to learn about the earth, by Minerva, age 10, in New York. When I was younger, I would pick up rocks that capture my attention and put them in my pockets. Now I have a large, beautiful collection. One of the best things about rock collecting is it's easy to get started. Wherever you walk, there is a rock, and each one has its own story, said Kate Kisiva, assistant curator at the American Museum of Natural History. Because rocks can be up to 4 billion years old, they can reveal clues to scientists about the age of the Earth and how the Earth's surface has moved around. Kisiva said that when young people pay attention to the rocks around them, they can better understand the natural world. These suggestions can help you get started with your own rock collection. Know the rules. Some places, like U.S. national parks, don't allow the removal of rocks. Others, like some state parks, have zoned areas or designated days for collecting rocks. Wherever you visit, be sure to seek out the rules and follow them. Get advice from experts. If there is a museum near you with a rock collection, plan a visit and don't be afraid to ask questions. Free apps such as Rock ID can help you find out more about the rocks you discover. Become a rock hound. Anytime you go to a park, beach, or stream, you can look for interesting pieces for your collection. In Central Park in New York City, I found granite that attracts magnets. Try Being a Flexitarian by Nicholas, age 11, in New York. Many people choose to eat a plant-based diet to keep themselves and the planet healthier. A flexitarian diet, which is semi-vegetarian, can have similar benefits and may be easier for some people to follow. People who choose a flexitarian diet eat mostly plant-based foods with occasional servings of animal protein, between 9 and 26 ounces of meat or poultry per week. Skipping one portion of meat or poultry per week can help preserve our natural resources. It can decrease greenhouse gas emissions and conserve water. It also requires less energy to cultivate crops than to produce meat. A paper published in the journal Science Advances suggests that shifting to a more plant-based diet could reduce global warming. Reducing our reliance on animal products, especially red meat and processed meats, and embracing a more plant-centric diet is the way to go forward to help the planet, said Diana Bobova, co-author of Food in a Planetary Emergency. About 2 years ago, I went from being a vegetarian to becoming curious about meat products. I started introducing meat into my diet, which brought more variety to my meals. I also really enjoy having a healthy balance of both meat and plant-based foods. If you're currently eating both meats and plants, you can try being a flexitarian in a few steps. First, eat more plant-based foods, such as fruit, vegetables, and nuts. Then you could swap out some of the meat and poultry you eat with plant-based sources of protein, like beans, chickpeas, and lentils. Finally, continue to make meat being flexitarian fun and interesting. Talk to your family about having a different vegetable each week or taking turns trying out new recipes. Raise Awareness About Wildlife by Hannah, age 10, in Connecticut. You might think kids don't have much power to protect animals in the wild, but just by learning about human threats to wildlife, you can help. Increased awareness is a reason many animals that were once in danger are now making a comeback, said Daniela Brigida, the Senior Director of Wildlife Communications at World Wildlife Fund, which provides support for conservation programs around the world. You can make a huge difference, she said. Try one of these ideas to raise awareness of the importance of protecting wildlife. Host a fundraiser. My friends and I have a bake sale at the end of every school year, and we donate our profits to the World Wildlife Fund. We share facts about endangered species with posters at our table. You could also sell crafts, jewelry, or artwork. Organize a lunch and learn. A lunch and learn is when someone talks about a certain subject during lunch. To have a successful lunch and learn, you can ask a wildlife expert, such as someone who works at a nature center, to come speak to your school. Spread the word. Make signs for your sale or lunch with the location, date, and time, and hang them where lots of people will see them. You can also prepare fact sheets about the wildlife to hand out. And finally, Discover the Power of Mushrooms by Aiden, age 11, Washington. In the area of the U.S. where I live, the Pacific Northwest, you can find mushrooms nearly everywhere. I love studying and foraging, or searching widely, for mushrooms. I even grew a lion's mane mushroom at home. I feel passionate about mushrooms because they are a vital part of our ecosystem. Here's why. They can help prevent wildfires, megafires. Wildfires that burn more than 100,000 acres of land have become a bigger problem in the U.S. in recent years. This is partly because our forests are becoming overgrown. The first step is to thin forest by cutting down small trees. Instead of burning those trees, which is expensive and releases carbon dioxide, mycologists, or scientists who study mushrooms, are using saprophytic mushrooms, which help dead trees break down. We grind trees on site and use the mushrooms to rapidly rot the trees before they become fuel for fire, said researcher Jeff Ravage, who studies how native fungi can help our forest. Scientists grow saprophytic mushrooms in a lab for this purpose, then bring them to the forest. They are important to our ecosystem. Mushrooms break down soil, which makes it possible for other plants to grow, said Melanie Kahn, the author of Mason Goes Mushrooming. Without this important contribution, it would be difficult for people to grow fruits and vegetables. And they help us to understand nature. You can interact with mushrooms in many ways. You can try mushroom foraging by taking a walk in a par- park or forest near you. Mushrooms can be tricky to spot at first, but if you find one, there are probably others nearby. Look for them at the base of trees, on forest floors, and in the cracks of sidewalks. When you find a mushroom, you can always touch it. Just don't taste it or swallow it. If you're interested in learning more, consider participating in activities with mycological societies or groups that organize fairs, classes, and field trips about mushroom. Visit the North American Mycological Association at nama.org to find a society near you. In the on-screen section, there's a game about a group of heroes. Eiyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes is a new JRPG, Japanese role-playing game, a type of game that typically has larger-than-life characters, dramatic stories, and complicated fighting. It is out now for the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation platforms, Xbox consoles, and PC. In 2020, popular video game creator Yoshitaka Murayama told his fans that he wanted to make a new game. After he shared a short preview of 100 Heroes, more than 46,000 people donated a total of $4.6 million to fund the project and a small prequel, Eiyuden Chronicle Rising, which came out in 2022. The lead character in 100 Heroes is energetic and brave Noah. One day he meets Sane, an army officer who is searching for rune lenses, small glass lenses with magical powers. The army that Sane is part of can make the rune lenses more powerful, and it plans to use them to take over the land. Noah and Sane become friends and go on a journey that has unexpected twists and turns. They end up being joined by Marissa, a guardian of the woods who becomes the third main hero, plus other heroes. Everyone has unique skills which they can power up and develop through regular combat. You can control up to 6 fighters in a battle, and strategy is important. Some hero skills match better against certain types of enemies, and who stands next to each other can make a difference. The game isn't all about fighting, though. In Animals in the Environment, we learn that schools of fish are super quiet. Groups of fish swimming together have a superpower. If they move in the right way, they can fool predators into thinking a single fish is approaching. Engineers at Johns Hopkins University wanted to understand why fish swim in schools or groups from the same species. They knew that traveling in groups protected fish from predators' attacks, but could it also help them avoid being noticed? The research team studied movements of common mackerels, including the formations the fish made and how far apart they swam, and created 3D models to mimic how they move. Mackerel's tail fins swing from left to right to push them forward. The team found that if all the fish flapped their fins in the same direction at the same time, they made more noise. But when fish swimming next to each other moved their fins in opposite directions, the sound waves from the two movements canceled each other out. This way, a school can sound as quiet as a single fish. Experts hope to use this understanding to build quieter underwater vehicles. The animal of the week is the okapi. The San Diego Zoo Safari Park has announced the birth of an okapi calf. Although okapi look like zebras or deer, they are actually the only living relatives of the giraffe. No one knows exactly how many of these secreted creatures live in the wild. They live up to 30 years in captivity, but they live in rainforests in Central Africa. They grow about 8 feet long and 5 feet tall by eating fruits, beds, leaves, and twigs. Fun fact, okapi can rotate each of their ears separately to listen for predators around them. The Ask an Expert question is how far does a frog's tongue stick out, and how does it stick out so far? Typically, a frog's tongue can stick out at 1/3 of the frog's body length. Frogs have unique cells inside the muscles in their tongues, which help them stick their tongues out so far, and so fast. Frogs' tongues can move so quickly, they're almost invisible to the human eye. In science and technology, we're tracing the path of early humans. Homo sapiens, or modern humans, first appeared in Africa about 300,000 years ago. Then, about 70,000 years ago, some of them left Africa. About 25,000 years later, Homo sapiens started to settle in Europe and Asia. Until recently, however, no one knew where or how they lived after leaving Africa. Researchers now think they've figured out where these ancient humans were. To find out, scientists compared modern and ancient human DNA, DNA is the chemical that carries information about how a living thing grows, and ancient DNA can be found in the remains of animals and plants. The DNA of people who live in an area called the Persian Plateau closely matched the ancient DNA from the earliest groups that left Africa. The Persian Plateau covers land that is now parts of Iran, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. The team thinks this region was a home base for Homo sapiens. From there, groups of them broke off and settled across Asia and Europe over the course of thousands of years. Scientists also looked at other evidence from the past, such as fossils, to learn more about what the environment was like back then. They found that the Persian Plateau would have had a variety of landscapes, including forests and grasslands. This would have offered Homo sapiens a range of habitat and food. Michael Petraglia, an author of the study, said these early humans probably lived in mountainous regions in the summer and moved to lower ground in the colder months. The team thinks the Homo sapiens lived in small groups and moved around to gather plants and hunt gazelles, goats, and wild sheep. Evidence suggests they had plenty to eat. The team said Homo sapiens may have encountered another early human ancestor, Neanderthals, at the Persian Plateau. Neanderthals are known to have lived in the area at that time, and their DNA is present in some modern-day humans. Interactions between them could have happened while both were living in the same region. The study helps researchers piece together the puzzle of how ancient human ancestors spread out across the world. It is a story about us and our history. Our goal was to unravel some of the mystery about our evolution, Petraglia said. The sidebar is a connection to dinosaurs. In an extremely rare find, scientists studying a site in Brazil discovered footprints from multiple dinosaur species located 2 to 4 inches away from human-made rock carvings. The footprints are about 140 million years old, while the carvings, called petroglyphs, are between 3,000 and 9,000 years old. Although dinosaurs and humans did not live at the same time, scientists think the footprints and carvings are connected. The individuals who crafted the petroglyphs were acutely aware of the footprints, likely selecting the location precisely because of them, study author Leonardo Troiano told Live Science. It would have been impossible to overlook their presence. And the information bubble is, did you know? Homo sapiens are one of more than 200 species that descended from primates. We share an ancestor with apes. Well, that's all the time we have this week for the May 10, 2024 edition of the Week Junior US. This is Julianne, and have a great week.